looking for trouble, you came to the right place. If you're looking for trouble, just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy
was. If you're looking for trouble, raised in Wisconsin. Hey, everybody, what is happening? This is the show about the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish, hosted alongside the deer slaying woodswoman of the North, South, and Midwest. The co-host of the show, Danielle Fairman.
Hello.
Super D, what is going on?
Oh, do I have a weekly Wisco for this week?
Oh, I know. Just hang on a minute.
I'm holding. Please hold.
You must have several weekly Wiscos. You came in here all banged up. Your face
got a splint
in the middle of your forehead.
Don't give it away.
I'm not giving it away. Look, you work at a job that has got you in heavy equipment,
yes,
dealing with a bunch of burly dudes and,
yep,
and putting them in their place, yeah, on a regular
basis.
You may
have to headbutt somebody every once,
yes,
in a while.
Look,
you never know.
I ain't mad at you, as the kids say. I'm not. Nor would I ever try to take you on. I do know that. I would never.
Do you want to arm wrestle?
No, thank you.
We could do it right here.
Nope.
No? Okay.
I'm good. I'm just going to concede that to you. However, I don't have a gigantic slice through the middle of my forehead
right now.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, Chef Ellie Lawton is on the show. She is the official chefferie of the show, the culinarian. Yay. The French certified chef, award winning, who's going to have our recipe of the week a little bit later. And that's always exciting. You know, I watch those ratings bump a little bit anytime we talk about food. And who doesn't love to talk about food? Because food's my favorite dish. This week, we've got the sommelier. The sommelier, Megan.
I'm
the
here.
Salad bar, Salazar.
Pirate.
The sommelier pirate. Who is here, of course, accompanied by Megan's lover. It's always nice to have him in the studio.
He has
with us.
A mic this week.
I know. Let's.
Oh, no.
Usually we just talk about him and don't let him talk.
Just behave.
I think.
What?
I think their relationship is developing because I saw Megan willingly hand him the mic this time. Usually she's not so quick. Now that's commitment. I think I'm going to call that codependence, actually.
She has duct tape in the other hand, so let's just relax.
duct tape in the other hand and a shovel in the trunk, Dave. Be careful, all right?
Yeah, I can dig a hole for you.
This week on the show, we've got an old friend of mine. In fact, it's so funny. I think that I don't believe in coincidences. Do you guys believe in coincidences?
No.
Or do you believe that everything happens for a reason?
Everything happens for a reason. Yes.
Yeah, I'm a true believer in that. And when I very, very, very first started waterfowl hunting, which was the first type of hunting I did, and Facebook was in its infancy and the internet was in its infancy, and I needed a bag to carry my decoys. I bought, you know, 6 decoys or 10 decoys or 12, I don't remember. And I found a guy on the internet, and his name was Josh Petrie, and he was selling an old bag. And we met and we became fast friends, and we've been hunting buddies ever since then. That's nearly 20 years ago. And Josh Petrie is our guest this week because, you know, we're in the middle in Wisconsin. We're in the middle of the gun deer season.
Yes.
Actually, we're right at the end of it. In fact, tomorrow's
holiday.
The last day of the gun deer season. And it is really like a religion in Wisconsin. 600,000 people, the Orange Army. And Josh Petrie and I have been friends a long time, and he has been out there, and he just harvested a massive, beautiful whitetail with his bow. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But on the show, you know, people listen for all, a variety of reasons, and we're not afraid to get into some of the issues that are tough issues. And I think people don't always realize there are tough issues that burgeoning issues because of technology. And we're going to talk about that today. You know, if you listened to the show last week, you heard Nick Scafidi talking about his drone use for recovery of deer, which I think is a fantastic tool. But there is definitely another side to drones being in the air while you're hunting or during hunting seasons. And I want to get into all that. But first,
First,
let's talk about our weekly Wiscos, because I have a feeling they're gonna flow right into both segments here.
Oh, absolutely.
Who wants to go first? Let's go by a show of hands. Megan's saying
Megan
no.
usually raises her hand.
Yeah,
she's
Megan's
not even
usually
her hand.
On
well,
it.
I want to go last this time.
Okay.
Just in case.
Does your lover care to share a weekly Wisco?
Ooh.
Sure, he can do one.
We need he has permission. Received permission
yes.
to Megan. Do one.
I have permission to do this one now.
All right. What have you got?
Well, with Thanksgiving just a few days ago, I would just have to say the weekly Wisco is getting together with family members and seeing them and talking about hunting stories as well, along with just being with the family.
Aww.
You know, that's my
sweet.
Weekly
so
Wisco.
Nice.
That's precious.
And you mean Megan
Megan's
when
lover.
You say
and
that.
And yes, I do mean Megan.
Well, yeah. We're gonna
that's adorable.
We're going to start putting some pressure on to make that official at one of these times because it's what we do. Making people uncomfortable is great because...
What are we making official?
Them?
We announced their relationship on the show.
They're gonna
their families no, found out start, via the show.
My brother and mom found out about it. On
the
show.
Yeah.
On the show. Were yeah. they, at the up to that point, they didn't know you had taken a lover?
No.
That's the never.
Jeez.
Oh, my gosh. Josh, I see you look a little perplexed right now. You've brought your lover along as well. She's in the. She doesn't want to be on the Facebook Live. She doesn't want to be even on the microphone. But she's sitting there taking it all in. And
she's going to yell at him afterwards.
I just want to say, Jen Adeline and I have been friends for a very long time as well. And kudos to you, because you work at the VA as a nurse taking care of our veterans. I just want to throw it out
yeah,
there. We appreciate
it.
That. And appreciate the work that you do. Yeah, she still doesn't want to take the mic. Josh, did you get out in the outdoors this past week doing anything?
I have.
What'd you do?
I was out doing a little deer hunting.
Ah, very good. Well, very, and I think you and the rest of the state.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you my weekly Wisco, which was actually a little bizarre. It was one of my less... I didn't do very well, but I didn't care. I went up and I set up in the middle of a cornfield by myself for ducks. And I saw quite a show. A lot of ducks came in with geese, and they didn't want to break off. And a few came right in my face, and I was in the layout blind with the blanket, and I went up to shoot, and my gun got tangled in the blanket. So I never I raised it up, put it up against my cheek when I finally got it, and I shot and missed by a country mile.
Well, sometimes you feel the freezer, and sometimes you feel the soul.
Oh, I like that, Danielle. That's good.
Deep.
Did you make that up or did you steal that?
I stole it, but I've been using it nonstop and putting it in everyone else's head.
Impersonation is the sincerest form of flattery.
You're throwing glitter.
I'm throwing glitter.
I love it.
All right. Well, what is your weekly Wisco this week?
I'm going to be that person again. I have two.
But
one of them is always for Ellie.
Yes.
What?
One of them's always for Ellie. So the
I didn't
for
know
my
that.
First one is I have to get the first to get the second. That little scar that you were talking about, the little cut into my eyebrows is because
yes.
I scoped myself.
Well, if you're scoping yourself, that means you're shooting at something.
I did.
So that's good.
If you're scoping, you're filling the freezer.
Yep, there we go.
That's right.
Yeah. I did.
If you're scoping, you're hoping.
I have three deer to have in my freezer.
Wonderful.
Wow. The most I've ever harvested on opening day. So,
yeah, well,
exciting.
I think a very small category of people can put themselves in the three deer on opening day category.
It was definitely an event. But for Ellie,
for Chef Lawton, you have a specific weekly Wisco.
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
And for my family, I secretly fed them deer heart.
How did you prepare it?
How do you do that?
Danielle.
How do you secretly feed deer heart?
Because
to
I told them it was flank steak.
Okay, but we need to back up.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
We need to back up. The more important thing here is, Danielle,
hi.
You prepared deer heart.
I did. I took it out when I gutted the whole entire deer. I took out the liver and I took out the heart. I'm like, I have to do something with these.
Yes.
Awesome.
And then Google came along, Pinterest.
Yeah.
And then Pinterest told me about deer heart, And
wonderful.
I marinate it for 12 hours.
Yep.
I cannot tell you what type of seasonings because I can't go off my head. I need
that's okay.
I need the recipe. I don't divert
from the recipe. We understand
that.
That's all right.
That's no problem.
But yeah, and it tasted so good.
Wonderful.
So good.
Wow, Danielle.
And then did you fry it in butter or?
I baked it.
Wow.
I baked it, yeah.
Next week she's going to come and say she prepared a mushroom tart and I'm going to fall off my chair.
Well, I feel like beef Wellington was my max.
Like No, that's just
that
the beginning.
Yeah, I made beef Wellington last week.
Beef Wellington is just the warm-up, Danielle.
Oh, yeah, not that's
this
awesome.
Week, beef, I'm a skewer kind of gal. We all know this from all the past recipes,
yeah.
But...
Well, yeah. I would definitely say your recipes are now askew from what they used to be.
Oh, is Jacob still keeping track of dad jokes?
I don't know if he is. Jacob
yeah,
is
Yeah, he gave us a thumbs up.
That's 74 this year.
74.
On his invisible notebook.
Perfect. Chef Lawton, do you have a weekly Wisco for us this week?
I do. Well, I filled my freezer and my soul. I was blessed to have a fantastic deer hunt, a fantastic duck hunt, and a fantastic turkey hunt.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. How long of a period did you have these?
2 days.
2 days?
That is the Wisconsin trifecta in 2 days.
I did it too.
What?
She did it too.
What is what?
I'd like to say you guys suck, but because I'm a little jealous of that, but I'm really excited.
We got out there,
cool.
We hunted our butts off and made it happen.
And we did different things too, so it's not like we did it all together.
That is awesome. Yes. I have to say, I have gotten the Wisconsin trifecta. If you don't know what this is waterfowl, game bird, and big game in Wisconsin all in 1 day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have several times gotten 2 out of the 3.
Oh,
but
man.
I really, really would love. And I've even had days where I've gotten waterfowl and a turkey in the morning and then sat for deer but never got that trifecta. But congrats to you guys for getting
awesome.
It in 2 days.
Yeah,
well,
that's
doesn't
phenomenal.
Waterfowl, doesn't duck end on the 7th, December 7th?
Yep,
Are
it
we
ends
coming
here
to
pretty
end.
Quick.
We're
coming to the end of
the
waterfowl
end.
Already. Yeah.
The funny thing is the ducks haven't even shown up yet.
Well,
so,
yeah, but
so
what kind
that.
Of ducks did you get?
Mallards.
I got old squaws.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Is this going to be your weekly whisk? Well,
it's
Joel
part
didn't.
Of it.
Did you do yours, Joel? I forget.
I did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah. You did yours.
Solo duck hunting. That was
That's
my
right.
weekly Wisco. Yeah, we'll give a shout out to him. He's been tough on me in the past, but I'm going to give a shout out to Foul Dogs and Mike Keller, who took Megan out on the big lake, on the big pond, and they went for the long tails, otherwise known as old squaw. And you had quite an event out there.
Oh, it was beautiful. I got 2 drakes and a hen. His girlfriend
so cool.
got a stud
oh,
of a
yeah,
long tail.
Massive
Absolutely
tail.
Absolutely beautiful. So
awesome.
Yeah, it was
now,
a lot of fun.
Here's the fun question. You got 2 drakes and a hen old squaw. How many bullets did you shoot or shotgun
oh
shells?
Oh, my gosh.
32.
Oh,
32.
Isn't it insane?
No, I did shoot at other ducks, too. I just missed. But I can't tell you that the first pair that came in
Hey, Megan, if you
10.
Shot 32 times and you got 3, you obviously missed the other ducks.
No. It's not that I missed. Those little suckers are hard to hit.
They are.
Hey,
they?
And I'm going to PSA. Megan's one of the best shooters I know. She does not miss often. So
no,
when she called
so
me and gave
like,
me a recap of the hunt, I was like, shoot, I better pack like 200 rounds if I go.
Oh, yeah. Was it pretty wavy
no,
out there?
No,
too?
No. It was actually calm? Really nice weather.
That's nice.
Very calm. So.
And it's fun hunting with her. Does he still have the double blind
yep.
or is it just a single?
Double.
Oh, my gosh.
I love
hey, we're
going to
talk about ethics. We're going to talk about legalities and ethics and recovery of deer and drones and technology and... We're going to talk about food because I got to leave feeling a little happy for sure. And I even made dinner for the crew tonight. I want to hear their feedback on that. This is Raised in Wisco. Yeah.
How lucky can one guy be?
Hey, everybody, this is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. Hey, we're on all the civic media stations, 25 of them throughout Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota. And If you miss it, Saturdays at 11, we air live Saturdays at 11. Check us out. If you miss it or you're excited to hear one of our previous shows, Danielle Fairman, tell them where they can catch it.
If you're excited to hear one of our previous shows, you can go right to YouTube and see our beautiful faces as well. But you can catch us on Spotify, Apple, and Facebook. Ooh. If you go to Facebook,
you
make sure.
YouTube.
No, she started with YouTube. Oh. Yeah.
To see our
usually
beautiful
YouTube's
faces.
Last.
And you can go to the Civic Media website and check out all of our shows there. And for me, I'm old school. I'm not super into technology, obviously. I put in Google Civic Media Raised in Wisco. It'll pop right up and you can listen to all the former shows. I have Josh Petrie here, who is a very long time friend of mine. And Josh is here to talk with us today about some ethics in hunting and about his successful deer season. I want to talk about technology and how it affects hunting and what's good about it, what's bad about it, what should be done and what shouldn't. Take me through your deer hunt this year, Josh. You had one hell of a year.
I did. November, I had like 8 days where I wasn't seeing anything. All it was little deer, you know.
When you say you weren't seeing anything, do you mean on cameras or in person?
A little of both and in person. It's not there. It was all the small ones. Everything was locked down for almost 8 days. I didn't see a single big buck over a fork.
Toward the middle of October?
And
even?
It kind of shut down October 29th.
How much do you rely on game cameras for hunting?
100%.
Really?
It lets, you know, when you see that buck come in 2 days in a row, almost same time frame, you got to get there.
You're not worried about wind? You're not worried about...
Well, I worry about wind all the time. I won't hunt an east wind.
Okay.
It's blowing right the way they have to come.
Right. And what about... So there's a product out there. There are several products now that create ozone. Ozone generators. Ozone destroys scent. So you think those work? Do you ever use those or rely on those at all?
I personally have not. I know two guys that do, and they get deer downwind of them all the time. But they're also spraying their clothes down. They're doing the scent-free showers and the phase system and all this other stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. The ozone's got to help a little. One's got to think if deer walk downwind and they can't smell them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they have the ones that go right above the stand, and they blow down, but... I have never used those. I have the big ozone locker. I love that thing. And I had I started last year with the mirror blind. Have you used the mirror blind before?
I have. I've used ghost blind for
ghost
years.
Ghost blind, there we go.
I've used
exactly
ghost blinds for years, and they are incredibly effective.
I did with you once.
Did you?
Used a ghost blind with me.
I shanked it. Yeah, for turkey.
For turkey? Oh, yeah. I remember I had... Well, you shanked the mirror?
No, I shanked the shad.
Oh.
Those are fascinating, though, because they really get you to feel like you're really sitting wide open in the woods. But if you see those mirror blinds from the front, they reflect what is in front of you. It's incredible. They really are quite incredible. I want to ask you to take me through the hunt that you had, what you decided when you saw it on your cameras and how you played that and how much you would say technology was responsible for you. You're a big bow hunter, and how much technology was responsible for you having a successful hunt.
I mean, honestly, the technology was my cameras were seeing the same thing I was seeing for 8 days prior to it. And I'm like, you know what? It's got to happen. And this was one of the first times I went in really early in the morning, sat till 10, didn't see a single deer, got out, went and got something to eat, came back out, 1:30 got in. All of a sudden, I saw antlers, and at 2:38, he was 25 yards broadside right in front of me.
Oh, man.
Drew back, stopped him, let the arrow go. He went 26 yards.
Oh, wow.
So great ethical shot. Beautiful deer. Biggest deer you've killed?
Close. I mean, I've got one on the wall that's non-typical, but typical, this is by far my biggest.
That's beautiful. Well, congratulations on that. I had a really rough opening day. I set up on a field. I had saw a buck, a nice 10-pointer outside of the ears, took a shot. on that deer and waited. Then I went to investigate it, and it was about a 375-yard shot. So it was not a real, real far shot with a 30-06. I actually tipped my blind back over me. I set up my gun in a corn stalk and was lying prone on the ground when I shot, and I'm fairly confident shot. And I knew that I hit the deer because I watched his reaction and then went to find several patches about as big as my hand of blood and started trailing this deer. And then I lost the trail.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I lost the trail, and the trail went cold.
That's the worst feeling.
Yes, and I called a drone operator to come out, a professional drone operator to come out and help me with the recovery. And it was really great because he was very, very specific about the rules and the laws. And you have to follow so many rules and laws when it comes to the drones and recovery of deer. And there are things that are legal that may not be the highest ethical decisions. And I want to talk about that. And I think, you know, I'm not afraid as a person when I make mistakes in life to admit them and try to correct them. You know, I'm not like a stubborn dude about that. But I want to talk about the process I went through and how it has affected some folks who've actually even reached out to me about it. And I know everybody on this panel's got opinions about that. And we're going to talk about that and other technologies and, of course, food on Raised in Wisco.
Tell me quick.
Everybody, this is Raised in Wisco. I am your host, Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside of me for so many years. The great Danielle Fairman,
hello,
co-hosting the show, riding along. We have one heck of a panel here today. We've got Josh Petrie. I'd call him an expert deer hunter, especially out there with the stick and arrows. Mm-hmm. He's slinging them all over the place at these deer and really coming up with some great success stories. We've got our sommelier, Megan Salazar, and of course, she has brought her lover along. Dave, good to see you.
She has allowed her lover to come along.
Dave's probably looking at game cam pics as we sit here. And he
nods yes.
And, of course, we've got the fame-acclaimed Chef Ellie Lawton, who's going to take us through our recipe of the week. Speaking of which, I cooked dinner for the crew today.
You did. It was so good.
That was so nice.
Thank you. Gosh. I appreciate that very much. I made goose pot pie.
I'm pretty sure this was a fan request. Yeah, someone on Facebook wanted pot pie recipe.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Did you get a picture of it? You didn't, did you? Gall darn it. We forgot.
There's still some left.
Yeah, there's still some left. We can take a picture. We can take a picture
there's
and post the recipe. This is the pot pie that I literally made up in my own head and have made it ever since I started waterfowl hunting. And I do have to admit it tastes pretty good. And I'm really glad to be able to have fed it to the crew today. And
we're going to go over your recipe in a little while.
Oh, we can do that. That'd be
because
fine.
Because I know that left.
Megan's lover just grabbed the mic. I always get a little nervous when he does that.
I did eat half of it.
Yeah. He took the whole pan.
Dave is such a good eater.
Dave, my Italian mother would be very proud of you. She'd say, you're a good eater. She judged the success of every event based on how much food people ate. That's a fact. And so now I feel a little bit the same way.
I'm sure we would have got along really well.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have.
She's still around, you know.
Yes. She's not dead.
I have to meet her.
Oh, you were asking to meet the parents already?
Yeah.
No, Mama Clayfish.
I know.
Dave and I are not getting married in Vegas. It's okay.
Why not? Well, those two are.
Oh, that's fine. Whatever suits them. My, I'm excited about it because my Italian mother is 80 years old and she runs around in a bright pink Jeep she just bought for herself. And she's got no rest in her rear, as my late father would have said. So God love you, Mom. Shout out to you. We're talking today about the ethics of technology, and something that I encountered personally was the use of a drone for deer recovery. And, you know, the drones are able to sense, infrared's not the word I'm looking for.
Thermal.
They have thermal imaging capabilities, so they can literally check anything that gives off a heat source while they're out there. And they're not allowed to tell you where they're droning, to tell you where they're, what they're looking at, where it is. They can only tell you that if they find a deceased deer. Mm-hmm. If they find a deceased deer, they can tell you where it is so you can recover it. If the deer is not deceased yet, and I want to talk about this part first because this is interesting to me. If the deer is not deceased, but it looks like it may become deceased, right now they still cannot tell you where it is.
Correct.
Even though you know very likely this animal is going to die, and you cannot at that point go and shoot another bullet in it because then that is using a drone for the aid of hunting, which I completely agree should not be able to be done. But that's not a far stretch from you. This is my opinion. That's not a far stretch from game cameras. Game cameras tell you where something is when it is there.
But the only game in a certain spot.
Whoa, slow down. See, whoa, I knew this would be controversial. I'm not saying I disagree with the use of game cameras to find and to make you a better deer hunter. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. I'm saying the technology is the same, stationary, versus on a drone, it's moving and more able to cover more ground. But there's not a massive stretch between the two.
I feel
two.
Like that's the whole massive difference. One is stationary, one's flying around.
I do agree. And I do not think you should be able to use drone technology to hunt. But I certainly think you should be able to use game cameras. I use game cameras.
Agreed.
I think they're
great.
I
like game cameras.
I want to go a click back. I totally disagree. I think they should be able to tell us if there is a deer on the ground injured and is going to die. I think we should be able to know so we can ethically harvest that animal.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I think it is a travesty when you see an injured animal that you know is going to perish, and you don't know if you'll find it later.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, do you have an... I see you...
Last year, opening bow, I had hit a branchers. I don't know what happened, but I didn't make a great shot on a deer. Called the drone guy. He set up a 36-inch TV on his bed running a generator while it was charging his other batteries. While he flew around, we were watching everything on the Onyx map screen. Where that every deer, he hit it, hit the spotlight, look at it. They'd look up at the light, and they'd start walking. Well, that's not it. And then we found one that was bedded, and it was still alive. He couldn't drop the coordinates. I looked at Onyx maps. I dropped a pin as the best I thought where it was and tried to go see if it expired the next day, and that didn't work out for me.
Well, that's the problem I have with that law. I think, but let me just play devil's advocate, and I don't agree with this, but let me play devil's advocate. Let's say you shoot a deer with a non-lethal shot. Maybe you skim his shoulder, you skim his leg, and then the drone operator were to tell you where it is. Then you go out and shoot and kill it. Well, that's not ethical. I think that's what they're worried about happening when it comes to
that would make sense.
Not finishing off an animal.
I think it dances a fine line of utilizing it for hunting versus ethically, you know, shooting a deer to take it out of its misery so it's not suffering in the woods for 2 months with an abscess on its shoulder and then gets hit by a car and potentially harms a human.
Oh, that is a very good point, Chef Lawton. I hadn't even thought of it that far down the road, but these are things that have to happen, and these are things that have to be contemplated. Now, I'm going to just throw a plug real quick in there. For those of you out there, if you don't think your elected officials listen to you, Tell them about your real experiences. I sat in the legislature for 14 years. I chaired Natural Resources Committee. I can tell you there are not very many lawmakers who are avid sportsmen and women when it comes to hunting. So they need us, those people active in the outdoors in Wisconsin, to share our experiences with them so they can make determinations for the laws that govern the way we hunt and fish and kayak and bike and rock climb and camp. They are the ones who make the laws for a subset of citizens in Wisconsin, a huge subset, who have to follow their laws. And I think that that's a really important point, too.
Well, so my thought that came up is if that deer is partially injured or injured and it crosses into somebody else's property and you recognize it's there and then you go to the person to ask permission and then they say no and then they go to hunt their property, like where is the ethics in that too? Like now they've just been told that there's an injured deer on their property and they're going to go hunt it. And then what's the fairness to it too as to who harvested it?
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a different point. And I think that that's a good point to bring up. And that is, boundaries of private property are, those are very difficult. If you have a deer that is mortally wounded and it so much as tips over on a property that you do not have permission to hunt, you do not have permission to retrieve it.
Mm-hmm.
And that owner of that property does not have to give you permission to retrieve it. And the police and the wardens can't do anything about that. Now, from a property rights perspective, I get that, and I understand that aspect of it. But this, I'm going to take that one step further and say, in a drone recovery, during the daylight hours, when a drone is not shining a light to see what's going on, you know, you may find an injured deer. The deer do not respond to the drone flying over the top of them. They don't act any differently or, you know, move any differently because a drone is, you know, 100 feet above them when they're out there. But it can. I did receive a call from a neighbor who was inquiring about the drone that I had used in the attempt to recover the deer that I'm absolutely heartbroken over not recovering.
Yes. Yep.
And he was very stern in his messaging to me about what he thought about the drone in the air. And so it begs the question, trust me when I tell you, folks, we're going to see a lot more of this. This is just,
I feel like I'm not happy about
beginning.
It at all.
This
Why
is
not?
Just the beginning.
I feel like having a drone fly over for, like, this past weekend, I was gutting my deer, and then I had this drone go right along our fence line, go down, and do, like, a grid line along our property.
Did it disrupt your hunt?
It did not disrupt my hunt, but why is it there?
Does it matter? I mean,
it does. Why are you above my property? Go away from my property.
Airplanes fly over your property.
Yeah,
all
but
the
they're
time,
not
so
having a
the
camera. They're not right at my tree line. They're right at my tree line. I could have shot it with a shotgun.
But you can't.
So if I shoot it with
illegal.
A shotgun, but
yeah.
They
See,
should not be that low.
And
I am not happy
why,
about that at
this
all.
This is why we're talking about
right.
it.
Right. And like to her,
there's no reason
her
for
spot
that
you
to
know,
be above
like
me.
For other people that say, you know, it messes up hunts. We literally sat there and thought our hunt was messed up because somebody was doing something on their property and mm-hmm. it didn't. And we still harvested the animals we did. So to say that a drone causes issues and screws up your
hunt.
Well,
I'm not saying it causes
no,
an
no,
issue
I know,
at all.
But a lot of people do use that excuse as to why a drone shouldn't be allowed because it's busting their hunt. I've had the weirdest things happen on hunts and still manage to do what I needed to do.
This is like another reason. Sorry, I didn't mean
oh,
to interrupt
no, go
you.
Ahead.
Like when you have a creek or a river going through your property, right? And it's legal for someone to walk that through your property.
Yes.
Yes.
As long as
they can fish right in your backyard as long as they stay in the water.
That still gets me too. I just feel like it's
not your property.
Yeah. I know, but it's like you work hard for this piece of property and all of a sudden this person just comes and like,
yes.
come. Yeah. Like, I understand, but like, dude, if I will happily bring a chair for you. just talk to me.
Well, and
so,
go ahead.
Danielle, I understand the frustration that you have with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And me being a horse owner, Ooh. I would have people fly drones pretty low over my property. And these are not professional drone operators.
Really?
These are just kids or people that got their hands on drones and they fly them around and think it's awesome to scope out people's stuff. That makes me want to shoot them down. Yeah. I know that's illegal and I'm not going to, but I wish I could. When you have,
Odyssey from Cheflon.
When you have somebody like Joel hired a professional drone operator to come out and go out and support us as sportsmen,
trying to ethically retrieve a deer,
conservationists to ethically retrieve a deer. If I'm sitting in a blind or a tree stand, now this is where I'm going to go on the other side of the fence, literally. I don't care. I actually welcome that because I want my deer to be found. I want my animals to be found.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
I don't
with that
want people
either.
Flying their stupid drones over my horses and running them through a fence, and then they cross the road and get hit by a car. God, I'm talking about animals getting hit by a car a lot.
But knock on some wood.
But I understand how you feel about that because I've been very frustrated with drones.
Yeah, if they were to cross the fence line, that'd have been fine. It was directly. Yeah.
And
property.
That's why we're going to talk about it more, because this is going to be a hot, hot topic for a long time. But we get to talk about food. That's coming up on Raised in Wisconsin. In Wisco, your stop for spirited, lively debate. Man, that's I love that.
That was a lot.
I'm going to tell you something. We were just. My name is Joel Clayfish. I get the honor and the privilege of steering this sinking ship. I mean, this ocean liner, alongside my first mate Danielle Fairman, Chef Lawton's here, sommelier Megan Saladbar Salazar, her lover Dave, and our guest Josh Petrie this week. We just had a very exciting conversation about drone usage, recovery, the legalities versus the ethics of it. And I'm just going to wrap that up by saying, mark my words. Mm-hmm. Everybody and their brother is going to have one of these, and they're going to be looking for their deer with it. And we're going to encounter these frustrations, yet success stories. I think many, many more people are recovering deer they never did, which is fantastic because then that can be used. And I don't believe in wasting wild game. Of any wild game that you harvest, I believe should be utilized.
Agreed.
To the fullest extent. But speaking of utilizing wild game to its fullest extent, Chef Lawton shows us how to eat to take our game from field to table in a fantastic and usually fairly easy way that I'm not afraid to
not
try.
Not today.
And what do you mean not today? You're not doing a recipe today?
It'll be okay, Danielle.
I'm doing a recipe, but we're clicking it up a few notches.
All right, let's do it. I'm game. Let's go. Run it.
Megan Salabar got super excited when we got to this segment. Do you have something to share, Megan? Did you have your hand up?
No, not today.
Oh, okay.
She's excited to learn.
I just want to know because I usually do a lot more technical stuff than you lately because that's just the way it's been. So for you to come out with something that's harder is surprising me.
It's not harder. There's just more steps. And sorry about that because you have to post it on Facebook.
Well, I'm excited.
Joel, we're sharing your recipe first, though, because you can go through your pot pie recipe.
All right. Well, my pot pie recipe is really easy. Take any meat, game meat, wild game, put it in a crock pot or instant pot, fill it to the top with water, add 2 packets of Italian dressing seasoning, 1/4 cup of oil, 1/4 cup of lemon juice and garlic. Let it go for 7 to 8 hours in a crock pot till it falls apart. Here's the key to the recipe. Shred the meat and put it back in the stock, which is the juice that you cooked it in. You'll now have this beautiful broth. Stir the heck out of it, and that stock with the oil and the flavors will absorb into the meat, making it slippery like pulled pork. After that, 1 cup of butter, 1 cup of flour to make a roux. So you heat the butter till it melts, add the flour, stir that around. Put your stock in there until it bubbles into a thick gravy. Add your meat, add your vegetables, put a pie crust over it and cook it at 350. And it will turn
delicious.
Into an awesome pot pie.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
It's so wonderful when someone cooks for me.
I bet. When the chef gets to eat someone else's food.
Nice little break.
Although, what I've noticed is I think everybody's afraid to cook for chefs.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to cook for Ellie.
No.
All right.
No,
well,
Megan,
you are a chef.
Yeah. Joel told me he was worried about it all day.
I'm the sous chef.
I was worried all day about the chef trying my meal.
Aw. Yeah.
But I made the crust, so I knew it was going to be good.
Thanks
you got out of
it.
Oh, I thought you guys knew that.
Thank you for ratting me out. I appreciate that. Thank you for ratting me out.
I thought you guys
out.
Knew that.
Nope.
Actually, we should have Megan repost our crust recipe because it's very delicious.
Super easy.
And so easy. Yeah. Okay, so now for the actual recipe for today. I had to bring my cookbook because this recipe has a lot of pieces to it. So, because we are getting down to the end of gun deer season, we need something else to do. We are going to go into rabbit season, right?
Ooh.
All the way through the end of February.
Hassenpfeffer.
Megan's lover has something happening over there.
What?
We're just going to ignore
him.
He's
pointing. He's doing charades.
He says something about you need to make sure you apply for your bear permit.
Yes, by December 10th. And spring turkey.
Just so everybody knows.
Very good advice.
All right. So in the meantime, let's hunt some rabbits and go over this recipe quickly because Danielle's telling me I need to hurry. Okay. So this recipe has a few different parts. You're going to get your rabbit. You're going to break it down into, let's see here, 4, 5, 6, 7 pieces. Megan will post all of this. You're going to marinate that rabbit for 48 hours. So that's why this recipe kind of takes a while because this is a couple day step. So the marinade, very simple. Red wine vinegar, dry red wine. If you need one, message Megan on Facebook. She'll tell you which one to use. Some water, some black peppercorns, some smashed juniper berries. So Danielle, you're going to give this a shot. And bay leaves. That's it for our marinade.
Bay leaves? I'm down for bay leaves.
Bay leaves.
Of course. Yeah. On the side.
Oh, my goodness. So then when it comes to actually cooking the rabbit, it's pretty easy. Dutch oven, medium heat. Throw some oil in there, some garlic, some onions, some carrots, fresh spices, some lemons. Megan will put this whole thing in here. There's kind of a list, people. I'm sorry, but it's fantastic, and it's actually easy. You're going to use some dried mushrooms. You're going to cook that down a little bit, brown the rabbit, and then you're going to add some spiced cabbage that you will make, which is so fantastic. There's bacon in the cabbage. We have garlic. Let's see here. Caraway seeds, apples or pears, zest of a lemon.
What don't
some
we have?
Red wine again. And it's almost done. It's almost done. It's so good. Some vinegar and honey. And this dish, I'm telling you guys, is so wonderful for these cold months coming up. It is, the cabbage is wonderful, the bacon, you have the smokiness from the bacon.
Sorry,
is
this like a casserole or a bowl?
It's all one dish in a Dutch oven.
It's like a stew almost.
It's not really a stew, but it's you call it a stew.
It's like a cacciatore almost,
yeah, and then
except it's a catch a rabbit instead.
With it, you're going to make this lovely sour cream sauce that we will post, and then you serve it with steamed potatoes, and it is so good, you guys.
It's a German recipe.
Austrian.
Okay.
Yeah, close.
Once again, I am stuffed, but my mouth is watering. That sounds amazing. Hey, we love having you along on Raised in Wisco from week to week because we learn, you're going to learn, and you're going to laugh and have fun with us. If you're new to the show, we love having you every Saturday at 11 live. And if you don't catch us there, catch us on the podcast. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.